With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And you are listening with Bridget and Dr. Mike Roizen here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. In about 15 minutes at half past the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Agus, who is the author of A Short Guide to a Long Life. His first book was The End of Illness, the number one runaway New York Times bestseller. This is a guide. In fact, it's about 65 things. I'm going to have to actually look it up. 63, 64, 65, 65 things, I was right, of choices that you can make to make yourself live longer, if you will, with a lot of health. And that's the key, is living longer with a lot of health. Bridget, one of the things you said was crazy in the last segment was, in fact, the amount of tanning the kids were getting. And I was trying to find out, it's mainly, when I looked at it, it was college women and teenagers of all age, but the incredible thing is about 50% of Americans have gotten indoor tanning at one time or another, even knowing that it can cause skin cancer, and some of those skin cancers are not just surface skin cancers. Those UVB rays burn you, but UVA also age you. They make you look older. And so I was saying, even with those long-term determinants, they still get them. I was trying to figure out what it is that's causing us to do that as a society. So what's your answer?
So I have a few ideas. I think that the idea of beauty in America is a lot of times an image of a very tan female, which is what a lot of times prompts women, specifically young women, to go tanning. It's very different from the image that you would see as beauty in Asia or other countries where they really value light, fair skin. In America, it's different. I also think that, especially in younger girls, that there's this idea that even though they might have an increased risk of these things, that it's not likely to happen to them. So I think that prevents them from stopping tanning and only thinking about the short term, I want to get tan and look better type of thing.
So you think it is solely a look thing? They're not going for vitamin D or the feeling that vitamin D gives them?
No, I don't think they're going for vitamin D.
Okay. That does bring up the one of the other studies this week was the correlation of vitamin D and multiple sclerosis, that the people who had the lowest levels of vitamin D, and that group was below 20 nanograms per ml, which is 50 nanomoles per liter, if you will, and for those of you in the other system, some are listening to us in Canada and Australia, so it's 50 there or 20 in the United States system of nanograms per ml. And they had a tripling when they had the low levels of vitamin D, they were associated with a tripling. Now, this is a tripling of lesions that developed over a 7-year period. So the question is, why is this, and could we do something by upping the vitamin D? 93% of Americans, this is amazing, 93%, according to the Center for Disease Control Nehanes 3 study, and even higher, in the real age database, we have a large database of 33 million people who had taken the real age test and done nutrition analysis on it. If you look at those two sets, it is well over 90% of people are short of vitamin D. And so the question is, could we, by giving vitamin D, decrease this? Now, the other study that is interesting because it relates to this is that Clostridium perfringens, which is a common bacteria you find on fruit and veggies and other things that we eat in the food, is associated with a much higher incidence of MS, that is a multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis is a disease that affects the white matter, and apparently this Clostridium perfringens induces a response to it that causes an attack of your nervous system tissue, the white matter tissue, which is the fast conducting tissue. And you can, I mean, it can be relatively minor things such as pain or loss of sensation to really major problems in MS. And so the question is, if everyone had enough vitamin D, would we decrease it? Vitamin D obviously stimulates the immune function, but there are no intervention studies yet. So maybe we ought to be giving everyone more vitamin D. We used to get it in milk. Bridget, when you were growing up, did you drink milk as a child?
I did, 2 times a day.
How many glasses a day?
2 glasses a day. I drank one for breakfast and then one for dinner. I loved milk.
Yeah, it used to be that when I was growing up, we would have 4 glasses. Obviously, milk has saturated fat, which has long-term consequences. So many people go to skim milk. But even so, it's got milk-based proteins, which may be a problem, as opposed to the supplement. So milk is supplemented. It isn't natively in milk in any large quantity, but the dairy puts it in. And so there's no difference if you're taking it as a supplement. But I really believe that we are. And you know, vitamin D, I went and priced it. It was literally around 2 cents a day for many of the vitamin D supplements. You've got to take a variety of them. I take 2 different manufacturers' vitamin D every day because they're so inconsistent in the samples. Even the very best manufacturers have some bad batches of vitamin D. So I measure my level every 6 months and take 2, and I shoot for a level between 50 and 80 nanograms per ml. Fairly high, but it looks like that's a level that is associated with fewer cancers and fewer episodes of heart disease. We know that it's important for the immune system and for preventing cancers because it turns on your proofreader gene. Every one of us in every one of our cells, save our red cells, have what we call proofreader or spell checker. And in order to turn the spell checker on to make sure when you duplicate your cells, when you duplicate your ACGNT or AUGNC, those are the letters of your DNA or RNA. When you duplicate those, you don't want typographical errors. Your spell checker makes sure of that, but you need vitamin D to turn it on. It's like a switch turning it on. So that's one of the ways it works. And you're going to hear more and more, I think, about all of us should be taking a little more vitamin D, but we don't have good data. That is, just like we said in the beginning, we said, is it that vitamin D is like a fireman? You always see the fireman at the fire, but they didn't cause the fire. Is the lack of vitamin D something you see because of illness and not related to it? We need to do intervention studies. The few we have on preventing breast cancer and colon cancer show between a 7 and 27% reduction. Powerful, not as powerful as aspirin, but pretty powerful. So, Bridget, do you take vitamin D?
I take a multivitamin that has vitamin D in it. It's a prenatal vitamin, actually, because Dr. Reuter told me that I should be taking prenatal vitamins.
Right. Every woman between 12 and 50 should probably be taking it. When we come back, Dr. Agus, a short guide to a long life. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.